Crime Alert, I'm Nancy Grace. Breaking crime news now. The Community Church of Chesterland decides to host a drag show to raise money for charity and show their support for the LGBTQ community. Iman Penny is angered by the church's choice and drives to the church with homemade Molotov cocktails. Penny then throws two of the Molotovs into the church, hoping to burn it to the ground.
Nancy Penny was found guilty of two federal charges and showed no remorse for his actions at his sentencing hearing. In a statement to the judge, Penny said he carried out the attack to protect children. Meanwhile, a daycare housed at the church shut down over safety concerns after the attack. Penny also claimed he was doing God's work and he steered history. The FBI discovered a manifesto Penny scribed that was full of false historical narratives and transphobic and anti-Semitic hatred.
The church sustains minimal damage, but Penny, 20, is sentenced to 18 years in a federal prison for violating the Church Arson Protection Act and malicious use of explosives. Michael DaCosta walks into a Florida thrift store completely naked and asks for clothes, obviously. An employee hesitantly gives him a pair of pants and asks him to please leave. DaCosta steals a shirt first. Cops are called and they catch up with DaCosta running down the street naked again. What is with this guy? While the employee is concerned about DaCosta's indecent exposure, her manager is concerned about the theft. DaCosta is charged with both and booked into the Marion County Jail. Well, now he's got something nice to wear, an orange jumpsuit. More crime and justice news after this. Now with the latest crime and justice breaking news, Crime Online's John Limley.
A Massachusetts man has been extradited from Sweden to face charges connected to a string of fires at Jewish institutions in 2019. For more, we turn to Sydney Sumner with Crime Online.
In 2019, 37-year-old Alexander Jonakakis was charged with multiple offenses connected to the fires, including concealing an act of domestic terrorism. On U.S. request, Swedish authorities apprehended Jonakakis in a Stockholm suburb following the indictment. After that arrest, police discovered that Jonakakis was in possession of illegal guns. He was subsequently found guilty of those offenses and was sentenced to prison in Sweden before his extradition to the United States. Authorities say they suspect that in May 2019, Jonakakis' younger brother had set fire to two different Chabad centers in Needham and Arlington and one Chelsea business connected to the Jewish community. At the time he was named a suspect in 2020, the younger brother was in a hospital in a coma. He died a short time later. According to investigators, the elder Jonakakis was living in Sweden at the time of his brother's death and subsequently moved a number of his brother's documents and devices to his home there in Sweden. Alexander Jonakakis also allegedly withheld information that implicated his brother and gave false statements to investigators during a 2020 questioning. Following an appearance in U.S. court, the elder Jonakakis is being held in custody. Jonakakis' attorney has asked for more time before his client enters a plea.
A decision on bail has been postponed until February 13th. Now to Minnesota, where a state trooper has been charged with murder in the death of Ricky Cobb II, a driver who refused to exit his vehicle during a July traffic stop and lifted his foot from the brake as cops were attempting to apprehend him. Once again, Crime Online, Sydney Sumner.
Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty has ruled that Trooper Ryan Londrigan's use of lethal force on Cobb, a 33-year-old black man, was not warranted and announced charges of second-degree unintentional homicide, first-degree assault, and second-degree manslaughter. In addressing the court, Chris Maydell, Londrigan's lawyer, referred to his client as a hero and said that the 27-year-old was attempting to defend both himself and another trooper. Maydell filed papers requesting that Moriarty be removed from the case or that the case be dismissed altogether. There has so far been no arrest of Londrigan. According to Moriarty, her office would urge the court to order him to turn in his passport and any firearms instead of attempting to retain him on bond. The shooting took place on July 31st in Minneapolis, the same city where George Floyd's death at the hands of police almost 4 years ago sparked sometimes violent protests in a national conversation about racial justice. Derek Chauvin received a 22.5-year sentence for second-degree murder in that case.
Colonel Matt Langer, the state patrol chief, said in an official statement that Londrigan will continue to be on paid leave while an internal affairs probe continues.
Thanks, John. Penny Calladito comes home from a Saturday night out, sends her babysitter home, and heads to bed. When she wakes up, her oldest daughter, Antoinette, is missing from their Gallup, New Mexico home. for a solid year. No leads in Antoinette Cagliardito's case. Then police receive a frantic phone call from a little girl claiming to be Antoinette. She tells police she's in Albuquerque, but before the call can be traced, an adult is heard yelling in the background, and the girl hangs up. 5 years after her disappearance, her younger sister, Wendy, gives her first account of what happened that night. She says her mother encouraged Antoinette to answer a knock at the door, and she was grabbed by two men, then forced into a brown van. 3 years later, Penny Cagliardito admits she allows an acquaintance to kidnap Antoinette. But Cagliardito and the acquaintance she mentioned were never charged over the daughter's disappearance. Antoinette Cagliardito, now missing 37 years. If you have any tips on Antoinette Cagliardito, contact the FBI 505-726-6000. For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace.